This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As Stern just observed, a lot is riding on how the media covers this particular falsehood against Kamala Harris. So how are we doing? Eugene Scott, who writes about identity politics for The Fix at The Washington Post, says that some media outlets definitely are better now at calling out racism and lies. Welcome to the show, Eugene.
Thanks for having me.
You've observed that during the Obama birther escapade, outlets like the Washington Post and the New York Times were slow to call anything racist.
It was something that did not have to go as unaddressed as it did, and really could have been stopped earlier on and called out for what it is if newsrooms were more diverse, if individuals who make decisions better reflected the population as a whole and could provide some perspective about how those types of rumors affect people.
But your general feeling is that there has been some progress from 2008 to today, and the persistence of this birther lie, that at least some of the media aren't going to be as tied up in false balance?
Without a doubt. I mean, we saw that within the first week. Cable news outlets like CNN and MSNBC, The Washington Post, and some other legacy media organizations, in their opening graphs, they called birtherism a lie. It was clear that Kamala Harris was eligible for the vice presidency. They referenced the role that birtherism played in President Trump's ascendance to the White House. We've seen a big shift in newsrooms blatantly call ideas and actions racist. And I think that, quite frankly, is one of the big changes in media that we saw come with the Trump administration. I think our current president has put forward ideas and policies that so blatantly discriminated against people because of their identities that newsrooms could not accurately cover what was happening without calling it racism.
What about Newsweek's participation in elevating the birtherism lie about Kamala Harris? Doesn't that indicate a persistent problem in how legacy media covers birtherism?
It does. And by no means was my piece attempting to indicate that the media had handled things perfectly. But the reality is the way that Newsweek's editors responded almost immediately to that column that was so controversial, I think demonstrates a change even within legacy media.
What do you think the impact is of the conservative media?
Well, I think we've seen some conservative media outlets attempt to distinguish themselves from the Fox Newses and the Federalists of the world. We see the National Review and Bulwark Online and even the American Conservative be more bold in separating themselves from ideas that they deem racist, in part because I think views of the GOP as a whole in the last few years have led many people to conclude that it is a safe place for racist ideas like birtherism. But yes, we obviously also see some media outlets that are lock and step with the Trump administration. And those organizations, we have no expectation that they will call things up.
What about the argument that bringing up this birtherism lie at all basically feeds oxygen to the flames?
I can't imagine that there's any validity to any argument that suggests that racism should not be called out. If any institutions in America have been complicit in turning a blind eye to white supremacy historically, the mainstream media has been one of them. And treating ideas and arguments as if they should be ignored literally leaves blood on hands. there have been people who have died and who have endured significant harm because of editorial decisions to refuse to call racism what it is. And I think what we're seeing in this current moment with some media outlets being more vocal and calling things racist is a recognition that there are people on the other end of these ideas and theories. They're just not thoughts. They have impact on people's lives. And if we want those lives to be protected and valued, and if they truly matter, racism has to be called out for what it is.
I totally get that. But I was just thinking of this example. Stay with me for a second. In 2005, the CDC put out a flyer to combat myths about the flu vaccine. And it was like, false. The side effects of the vaccine are worse than the flu. True. The flu vaccine saves lives. And one study found that within 30 minutes, older Americans misremembered 28% of the false statements as true. And it took younger people about 3 days to misremember it. In other words, in trying to combat a lie, stating the lie might actually entrench it. And somebody said that maybe you should make like a truth sandwich. Say, Kamala Harris is entirely legally entitled to run for the vice presidency of the United States. Then say, BS about birtherism is false. And then go back and say again, there is no question that she is entitled to run for the vice presidency of the United States. What I'm saying is, should there be a specific protocol for how the media cover lies?
Well, there could be, but I think the reality is that so many media outlets are different at their core in terms of what they aim to do and desire to do, that we shouldn't really expect consistency across the board. The reality also is that whether or not someone receives the truth when you're doing some fact-checking isn't completely the responsibility or fault, should I say, of the media outlet. You're dealing with so many different factors here. But what won't lead them to embrace the truth or even know it is ignoring it and not addressing it at all. And so that has to be done.
Something's always better than nothing.
I think so.
Thank you very much, Eugene.
Take care.
Eugene Scott writes about identity politics for The Fix at The Washington Post.
Coming up, QAnon crawls out from under the rocks of the lunatic fringe and slithers towards the nation's capital.
This is On the Media.